Good evening, everybody. Hope everyone's doing well. Thank you so much for joining me tonight on our teleseminar on how to hire top talent for your chiropractic office. I can't overstate the importance of this event. I'm so glad that so many of you decided to sign up for tonight. I think this is our sixth teleseminar that we've done in a series of interviewing different personnel for the office, whether it's an MD, a DO, a physical therapist, a chiropractor. And this one is even of the utmost importance because hiring top talent, and what I mean by that are your marketing reps, your front office manager, your billing manager. These are the talent, these are the people that keep your office together. They're the glue. They don't necessarily do services in the office, but you know, the marketing rep obviously can bring patients into the office. The office manager keeps the cohesiveness of the office. And of course, we all know what the billing manager does. So the purpose of this teleseminar is to teach you practice growth, how to have less stress, improved efficiency, more new patients, new fresh ideas, and so much more. And trust me, I understand the temptation to hire the first person who might fit the mold of what you're looking for. But in order of the true benefit, you need to hire the best. And that's what I'm going to try to teach you today in this teleseminar, is how to find the best person by the fastest means possible. Because one thing I want you to keep in mind, the best people out there find jobs quick. The economy is improving. It's not perfect, but the top talent will always find a job quick. So when you find somebody that you think is good, you need to move fast. And I'm going to teach you how to do that tonight. There's so many new people on this line tonight. I kind of want to go over briefly who I am, my role in helping you find staff, how we work and what we do, and then we'll jump into the teleseminar. So for those of you who have already heard the intro before, I apologize. But we do have a lot of new people on this call, so I just want to briefly go over that. So just bear with me until we start the actual presentation. So for those who don't know, the name of the company is called Healthcare Recruitment Counselors, HCRC Staffing. We provide staffing solutions specifically for chiropractors. We started the staffing agency specifically for you, to help you find staff. There was a void in the chiropractic profession on how to do this, and our goal is to solve that by the fastest means possible. I'm a New York Chiropractic College grad. I graduated back in 1995, so I've been active in this business for almost 18 years now. I actually maintain two chiropractic medically integrated offices in the state of Delaware. So I do go through the same issues that you go through on a daily basis, which gives me a unique opportunity to know what you go through. I started HRC staffing by helping other chiropractors in and around my community and friends. So I've been staffing offices since 2000, but officially formed HCRC staffing in 2006. So our goal here at HCRC Staffing, we talk about this a lot, is to find you staff by the fastest means possible. What that usually means is when you hire my company, we strive to have CVs and resumes in your inbox within 72 hours of signing an agreement. Speed is everything in this business. So if you have a chiropractor that quits and you need a chiropractic associate, waiting a month doesn't cut it a lot of times. If you have an office manager that quits, you need to replace these people fast. If you don't have the staff in your office, you will lose money. We work all over the United States. There's not a state that we can't help in, and I think we have worked in every state in the country, including Alaska. Hawaii would be an exception. I don't think we've had a job yet in Hawaii. But all the other states we have actually worked in. We actually work abroad as well. We've placed staff in the UK, Singapore, Canada, to name a few. So the biggest reason to use my staffing company is we offer a customized solution specific to your chiropractic office. So whether you're medically integrated with MDs and PAs and NPs and PTs, or you are very straight subluxation based, we gear our staffing solution to your office, which is very unique in the industry. So the type of staff that we place is really anything for your office. So if you're looking for a chiropractic associate, we could find that. If you're looking for a medical doctor, we could find that. We place all specialties. Osteopaths, we can help you find. Physical therapists and physical therapy assistants, we can help you find. Physician assistants and nurse practitioners. And, of course, top office talent, which is crucial, the office manager, the billing manager, and the marketing rep. So what do you get when you hire my company? One, it's a professional staffing solution. So we come up with a game plan, what you need, and how fast we're going to do it. We go over all that with you. And we take more of a consultative approach. So I don't just, if you hire my company, I don't just send you a resume and hope that it goes well. I walk you through the entire process from phone interview, in-person interview, the hiring, the contract, the negotiations back and forth. I'll walk you every step of the way. We have done this hundreds of times. You probably have only done it a few times. So we are the leading experts in that. So you're never alone. We'll always walk you through it. That's really the biggest benefit of using us. One is the speed of finding great candidates. But two is it's the consultative approach. No other staffing agency will give you a consultation on how to do things. The fees, how do they work? We're a contingent-based search firm. We don't charge anything up front. And the fees vary based on who you're looking to hire. That's a good deal. We don't charge, again, we don't charge anything up front. We only charge a fee if you hire somebody that we send you. If you don't hire anybody, you don't pay a thing. If anyone wants to follow us on the social media sites, I post all of our jobs on there. We're on Facebook under my name, Brian Torchin. LinkedIn is under Brian Torchin as well. Here are some frequently asked questions that we get from clients who are looking to hire staff. Again, we already spoke about we don't charge a fee unless you hire somebody that we send you. If we're looking for staff for one day a week or even one day a month, can we help with that? Yes, we're able to find you staff for one day a week or one day a month. People want to know, do we help with compensation packages and ways on structuring deals? And yes, we're a consultative staffing agency, so we'll help you with salary negotiation, bonus, malpractice, what's reasonable for time off, what's reasonable for health insurance, everything. Can you help? I got a question from a client. Can you help me develop a role for new staff members? And yes, we could strategize a role for any type of staff member that you need. That's all part of the deal when you sign on with us. We help you with contracts and everything that you need. That's really how we're different from other recruiters out there. There are thousands of staffing agencies out there. Very few of them work with chiropractors. We are the only company that offers a consultative approach to helping you find staff. Not only that, we're chiropractic owned, which is also very unique, and we work worldwide and can help you place everything in your office from MDs to PAs to front office managers to chiropractors and everything, anything that you need for your office, we can help you with that. I had a question the other day. Somebody already signed an agreement with another staffing agency, and they wanted to know if they could still sign with us. The answer is yes. Our agreements are always non-exclusive. So that means you could sign with us, you could sign with 10 other staffing agencies, or you could try to source the position yourself. Another benefit of using my company is all these teleseminars that we do. They're always on my website. So if anyone wants an old recorded teleseminar that we did, just ask and I'll forward it to you. You could always reach me at my email address, Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at hcrcstaffing.com, or you can call my cell phone, which is 267-251-5275, and of course the website is www.hcrcstaffing.com. Okay, so that's really the intro to my company. I hope that gives a good overview of what we do. If anyone has questions who's new to my company, feel free to call me or email me. But at this point, I'd like to jump into the teleseminar, which is why everyone signed up tonight. And again, I appreciate everyone taking their time. I know it's late on the East Coast, and for most of you on the West Coast, you're probably just finishing up hours. So we're going to break this hiring top talent teleseminar into three distinct topics. One is how to locate them, how to find them, how do you find top talent out there. The second one is what do you do when you get them, how do you interview them, what's the tricks of the trade for that. The three is the hiring process, the offer, and that's the three areas that we're going to build on tonight. So you have an idea of, one, how to locate them, how to interview them, and then how to hire them and send them an offer letter. Again, this is a time-consuming process, so if anyone doesn't feel comfortable doing this on their own, call me, and I can help you with the process and walk you through it. So the smartest employers who hire the best people recruit a pre-qualified candidate pool of potential employees before they need to fill a job. So the biggest advice I can give you is, and I hope this makes sense, is don't just wait till you have a need and then scramble to look for people to hire. You should always be looking for people to hire. Even if you have the best front desk person that you think you have, you don't know. She or he may be leaving in a week, and then what are you going to do? Always be looking. Always be meeting. Always be sourcing. And keep the information in an Outlook file. If you're not good at the computer, just keep it in a regular file. But always be networking for that new staff. You don't want to be scrambling at the last minute when someone gives you 2 weeks' notice. You can develop these relationships with potential candidates long before you need them. These ideas will also help you in recruiting a large pool of candidates when you have a current position available. The earlier you adopt these practices, the better your organization will do in the upcoming war for talent. Trust me, there's a war for talent. The best people go quick. I told you that in the very beginning. If you want mediocrity, you can take your time. There's plenty of plenty of people who aren't the top, and you only want the top for your office. You've worked hard to build what you have. You don't want to let that go. So recruiting your ideal candidate always starts with a job description. That's key, right? That tells potential employees the exact requirements of the position. It's useful. Okay, so you want to be specific with the position. Not so much where you're putting your website, not so much where you're putting your address. City, state, and zip is all they need. They need to know where the position is. They don't need the exact address. You don't want people knocking on your door, calling you up, and harassing you. All right? Even more useful is the process you can use to develop a job description internally and the behavioral ideals for your ideal candidate. So you want to assemble a team of people who represent the best qualities of the people who currently hold the same or similar position. So you could look around your own office, see who you have that's fantastic, and try to mimic those attributes. You want to develop a job description that delineates the key responsibilities and outputs of the position. Okay? Then you're going to define the behavioral characteristics of the person you feel is your ideal candidate. List 5 or 10 key responsibilities and characteristics. That's what you're going to use to screen resumes, perform phone interviews, and eventually establish the questions for your candidate when you interview them. If you need help putting together key interview questions, or if you want to run ideas past me about characteristics that you're going to use to screen people, email me or call me. We can work it out and talk it out. I know it sounds like a lot of effort. I know it is. It's not an easy thing to do, but you're busy. But it's so crucial to do this because you'll have a much better idea about the characteristics of an ideal candidate you want to attract to your company. Without doing this, you won't know who you want to attract. So put down 5 or 10 key responsibilities, 5 or 10 key characteristics. Match that up between the different people who apply. It'll give you a much better idea of who you want for your office. So also, what I want you to do when you're looking for people is tap your employee networks in recruiting candidates. So you want to spread word of mouth information about the position availability or eventual availability to each employee. So maybe they could be on the lookout. Obviously, if you're looking to replace somebody, you know, maybe you don't want to go that route. But if you're just looking to add a position, your employees could be a great resource for that. And, of course, your friends, associates. You can do online social networking. There are so many professional networking sites between Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. They're invaluable when it comes to trying to locate top talent. You can even use trade show booth time to meet and get to know potential candidates, as well as potential patients in the area. Encourage employees to gather business cards from and develop relationships with high potential possible employees. Give them a bonus if they're able to secure top talent in your office. Make sure you publicize your interest in employee referrals. And you can do that with an employee bonus. Also, take advantage of your industry contacts, association memberships, trade groups, recruiting candidates. Another good way to find top talent is use your website for recruiting candidates. Do you have a Join Our Team section on your company website? Tell and even sell potential employees about the vision, the mission, and the values and culture of your company. You could put all that on your website. People can read it, and then they get excited, and they want to apply. Instead of the typical written job listings about the available position, your website needs to include the vision, this information that sets your company apart from others in your industry. One of my clients actually has on his website Talk to the President link, so they can actually get directly to him by email. Once you have people that apply, you want to maintain frequent contact with these people. Don't let these potential employees submit their resumes and never hear from you again. You'll lose all the momentum you just spent time in developing with the favored few. Think about what a potential employee considers before agreeing to join your organization or business. Are you stable? Are you making money? Are you growing? Are you employee friendly? Does your mission catch the mind share and or the heartstrings of the people you most want to recruit? Will a new employee feel part of something bigger than themselves if they join you? Will your organization nurture their talent and provide exciting opportunities for challenging and professional growth? You have to be able to answer these questions yes. Analyze every component of your recruiting process to make sure that you are sending these messages. If you want to be an employer of choice, you must act like an employer of choice. People have to know your vision, your growth, and where you're going. And of course, you want to make sure that your job, you want to recruit using the internet as well. So you want to make sure your job is highly publicized. You could try things like Career Builder and Monster. They're pretty good for private sector, private practices trying to use a job. Another option is using headhunters and recruiters, somebody like myself. Sometimes it's worth your time to use a headhunter, a recruiter, a placement firm. Not all firms are the same, so I would caution you to read the fine print before you hire anybody. If you want me to review any agreement that somebody has sent you, I'm free to do that. But you know, depending on where you're at, you can literally receive 50, 60 resumes by putting an ad out there. You may not have the time to sift through 50 or 60 resumes. And by the time you get to the top two or three, they probably already found another job because they get jobs very, very quick. Okay. So that's how I would recommend you locate top talent. You can use a recruiting firm like my company. You can talk to your other employees, friends, colleagues. You can have an internet job board on your website where people apply directly. You could ask, you could have your front desk manager or other employees in your office ask patients if they know of anybody. and that will drive a lot of interested people to your office. So now what do you do when you have 10 or 15 people that have applied for the job? You got to understand, when it comes to a job interview process, there's no rule that says you have to invite a job candidate back to your office for multiple rounds of interviews. Especially if you're a solo interviewer looking to save some time or simply tend to trust your initial instincts after your first meet and greet, then you should really do a phone interview. That could be the first wave of interviews. So once you've done a resume review to identify a qualified candidate, conduct a thorough phone interview screen. This is going to save you a lot of time and money later. You want to open up the conversation by getting the feel for what the candidate is looking for, while making sure your opportunity syncs well with the individual's career aspirations. So you could start asking some of the following questions. And if you got a pen, if you want to write these down, that's fine. So you could start by saying, what attracted you to my job posting, and why are you looking to leave your current position? Let them speak. Don't cut them off. Let them speak and let them speak and let them speak. You can ask them, what does your current employee compensation package look like? And be specific now in terms of base salary versus bonus versus perks versus health, things like that. Get as specific as possible. How many hours do you work? Do you work overtime? You want to know what you're dealing with. No one's going to leave a job for less money. And generally, if these people are top talent, they're already working. So you're trying to convince them to leave another job to work for you. They're not going to leave for less money. It doesn't make sense. You can ask them, when is their next merit increase or bonus scheduled to go into effect? And this will tell you, again, salary, but you know, you're trying to vet out the possibility that if they take your job, are they going to go back to their employer to try to use that as a negotiation tool to get more money and then stay with their current employer, and that happens a lot. So this initial investment of your time should help you screen out candidates who aren't really serious about the job search, who can't articulate their needs clearly. And likewise, it will save you a lot of time in terms of interviewing candidates who are currently earning too much money relative to what you're planning on paying. So if you're looking for a front office manager and you're going to pay your budget of $15 an hour, you know you can't do anymore, and someone's coming to you making $18 an hour, it's going to be pretty rare that they're going to want to take your job. It can happen. Maybe they're traveling too far. That's another thing you'd want to vet out, and that would go along what attracted you to my position. You know, maybe it's around the corner from them, and maybe, you know, making less money would be attractive. Doesn't usually happen, but it might be. So you want to vet out all those negatives and positives, and you can do that during an initial telephone screen. That'll save you a lot of time. So once you've done all that and you have your potential people that you like, you could do now the in-person interview. Meeting with the candidate in person provides you a chance to get to know the real person behind the interview hype. As you're conducting the interview, this is your chance to ask interview questions that draw out honest responses that help the candidate feel comfortable with discussing career goals with you. So you really want to know where they're going. What are they doing? Why are they leaving? And yeah, you got a lot of this on the telephone, but in person, it's going to be a lot easier to really get to know these people and get a good feel for them. And here are some questions you can ask. If you want to write this down, feel free. If you miss anything in the teleseminar, just give me a call or email me, and we can kind of go over it one-on-one. But here's what I like to do. I like to ask, what would be your next step in career progression if you remain with your current company? How long would it take you to move into that next role? So what would be your next step in career progression if you remain with your current company? So basically, I'm asking them, if you stay with your current job, what's next there? What are you looking at? I want to see what is going on with where they're at. And this will draw a lot of conversation. My next question is, if you were to accept this position, how would you explain that to a prospective employer 5 years from now? How would this job help your future career progression or help you build your resume? So I asked them, if you were to accept this position, how would you explain that to your prospective employer 5 years from now? I want to see how they think on their feet. That's why I'm asking that. I'm asking them, if they leave me 5 years from now, how would they explain my job to a new employer 5 years from now? How would this job help your future career progression or help you build your resume? I just really want to see how they think on their feet. It's a tough question for them to answer. I want to see how they answer it. Another question is, what needs to change at your current company for you to consider staying put? This is an important question. What needs to change at your current company for you to consider staying put? What would your supervisor do if you gave notice now in order to keep you? I like to know that question. I like to know the answer to that question, I should say, because, like I said before, a lot of times they'll take your offer, go back to their employer, and try to negotiate. So I want to know if that's even in their head. What needs to change at your current company for you to consider staying put? What would your supervisor say if you gave notice? My next question is, are there any other pending offers on the table or late-stage interviewing discussions that are in play? I want to know if I'm the only game in town. I want to see what they say about that. Lastly, I ask, if we were to make you an offer, when would you be able to start? How much notice would you need to give your current employer? And there are other questions that I ask, but those are really the meat of the potatoes. It allows me to understand where they're coming from, if that makes sense. I want to know if they're going to take my offer and go back to their employer. Now, of course, I go over the vision of the office. I go over what I want them to do, their role, you know, whether it's billing, front desk, PR, marketing, etc. So the value of these questions focuses on your opportunity in terms of the longer-term career benefits it offers candidates. You know, make no mistake about it, though. These selflessness interview questions will help you gain a much deeper insight to how the candidates think, manage their career and communications on their feet. Also garners a lot of goodwill from the candidates themselves because you're putting their needs ahead of your own. It gives you so much insight to what they're thinking. It's crucial. So, let's say you did the interview and you fell in love with a candidate, right? No matter how much you do fall in love with a candidate during an interview, you don't want to extend an offer right on the spot, not at the day of the interview. Even if you love them, not right then and there. You never know. Even if you guys don't do any background checks or drug screening at your office, you definitely want to get a reference check. So before extending an offer without speaking to a prior employee, it's a very bad mistake. So don't make the offer until you check out the references. So if you like somebody, you could tell them, hey, Sally, the interview went well. We're definitely interested in possibly extending you an offer. I would like to speak to, you know, your former employer. If they're currently working, it could be the former employer before her current employer, and some other references. So you call the former supervisor on the line, and here are some questions you can ask them. How would you grade Sally's ability to accept constructive criticism? How many hours a week does she find it necessary to work in order to get her job done? What motivates Sally, and is there anything that typically unwinds her or bothers her? Would you consider this person high maintenance or low maintenance in terms of supervision? And of course, would you rehire her if given the chance? So, you know, if you've gotten positive responses on those questions, and you can add more to those, but those are like some five that I like to ask. You know, once you're convinced that you have compatible business styles, then you can determine and decide if you're going to want to hire the person and bring them on. So you've done your due diligence. You had the interview. You did your post-interview check. You did the. You spoke to their previous supervisor. So now what you want to do is make the offer. You want to hire them. You want to bring them on. Now, I know I said don't hire anybody on the spot, but don't also you can't also drag your feet. So if you like somebody right at the interview, call them up when they're home, that day, the next day, not too much longer than that. Get the references. Check the references immediately. If they're positive, then move fast. So you don't want to take a chance of losing this person, especially if they're looking at other jobs. Because they did, now you're going to be forced to hire the second best candidate, or worse. Maybe you'll have to start over. So here are some 9 steps that you can do for a successful job offer. First one, like I said, you got to move fast. If you made the decision, why wait? Time is always your enemy in your recruiting, even if you're down economy. Exceptional talent is rare. Top talent goes quick. Whenever possible, contact the selected candidate later the same day of their final interview. If not, make contact within a day or two at most. Not only can you ease the candidate's stress during the post-interview waiting period, but you also show how thrilled you are to make them a part of your team. Everyone likes to know that. Especially if you're going to be bringing somebody on, they want to know that they're valuable, that they're an asset, not a liability. Number 2, always call. Some companies actually send emails and letters. Don't do that. Make a phone call. It's more personal. And you make the phone call, not someone else in your office. You. You're writing the check to them. You're hiring them. Make the phone call. Go out of your way. Not only will you convey your excitement, and you should be excited, but you can gauge the level of enthusiasm. You want to see if they're excited. You could tell so much on the phone when you make that offer. They're like, oh, okay. Or, oh, my God. You'll be amazed at the different enthusiasm you'll hear. And you got to hear that yourself. Number 3, you got to be enthusiastic yourself. You got to be professional, of course. You're a doctor. But you could be enthusiastic. Tell the candidate she was your first choice out of 100 resumes. Explain how impressed others are with her background and skills. It's natural to play your cards close to your vest during the interview, and you should. But once you made a decision, drop the reserve. Don't worry. Conveying your excitement won't affect the salary negotiation process. You got to remember, the employee-employer relationship doesn't start the first day on the job. It starts with the job offer. And make that moment memorable for the candidate. Number 4, apply the 10% rule. This is important. Generally speaking, candidates expect a pay increase, most likely of around 10% when they change jobs. Maybe it's a little lower here and there. Few candidates will change jobs to the same or lower salary. Anything, you know, barring anything unusual circumstance, you know, distance, maybe they're traveling 2 hours to a job and they can't deal with it anymore. You know, if they do, they'll feel some level of resentment when they get their paycheck if they're taking a job for less money. So never offer a salary before their current salary unless there are concrete objective reasons to do so. Number 5, you got to show the money on the offer. When you're making an offer, you got to explain the pay. You got to explain the benefits as thoroughly and accurately as possible. Don't just say, hey, we'd like to bring you on, and don't go over the details. That doesn't do them any good. Or don't be like, oh, we're going to bring you on. My office manager is going to call you in a week with the details. That's not a job offer. You have to describe the base salary, how the bonus plan works, health, paid time off. And you can do that on the phone. Then after they're excited and they sound like they want to take it, then you follow through with a written breakdown of all the salary and the benefit terms. Okay, and you could send that by email. And that should be written after you explain it to them on the phone. Never give an employee any reason to feel they were the victim of a salary bait and switch. And never make a bonus or perk promises you can't keep. Number 6, get a commitment, even a tentative one. Many candidates will ask for some time to consider the offer. And that's only natural. They're not going to commit right on the phone. And you want them to think about it. It's a strong decision. It's an important decision. That doesn't mean you can't ask the questions. You could say this. Say, hey, I completely understand, but can I ask what you think about of our offer? At least get that out of them. Do you think my offer is good? Any hesitation the candidate feels indicates they may turn you down. So ask questions. So if they're hesitating, you don't want to be pushy, but you can ask some additional questions and see if you can overcome any objections. Provide additional information that will make acceptance more likely. You know, so if you feel like they're not keen on the salary, the benefits, you know, you could say, you know, is there something missing in my offer? You don't sound so excited. And, you know, maybe they'll say, you know, the paid time off, or maybe you're a dollar off. You want to get those negatives out because they may not feel that comfortable bringing it up to you. You're the negotiator. You're the business owner. These people never owned a business in their life, so they're not going to be comfortable negotiating. They might just turn it down. Number seven, follow up in writing. Then put everything in an email or letter. Include all elements of the offer, the job, the title, the base salary, everything in there. And make sure that you got to set a deadline, though. You know, it's not an open-ended job offer. At the end of it, you can write something like, you know, we do need to hear an answer within 3 days. You can tell them on the telephone they have 3 days, and you can put that in the email, they have 3 days. Number eight, you want to feel their pain. In my experience, about one-third of candidates who refuse a job offer did so because they accepted a counteroffer from their current employers. So talk about how it will feel giving notice. You could talk about it on the phone. Here's my job offer. What's it going to be like telling your current employer that you're quitting? See what they say. You've been working there for 3 years. You're going to go to your employer. You're going to accept, tell me you have a new job offer. How's that going to go? How's your boss going to react? Get that out in the open. Let them tell you how they feel. They may not even realize, like, oh, yeah, I have to go to my boss now and give notice. That's going to be horrible. And maybe you can alleviate some of that concern for them. You got to be sensitive to that feeling. Even if they desperately want to change jobs, resigning from their current job creates a lot of stress and anxiety. Number nine, I want you to ask the killer question, I like to call it. If you can't get a good read on the candidate's level of interest, if the decision-making period is dragging on, or if you just want to make absolutely sure the candidate will show up on their first day, ask this question. It's a good one. I interviewed two other good candidates for this job. Can I tell them the job has been filled? I interviewed two other good candidates for this job. Can I tell them the job has been filled? You know, meaning that, are you going to take this job? Or if not, do I go back to the other candidates? That brings a lot of guilt. So if she's dragging or he's dragging their feet, they're not really giving you any feedback, or almost at that third day, you know, a simple phone call. Hey, Sally, I got two other good candidates on the hook here. What should I tell them? And that usually will bring out, you know, very few people are going to lie about their intentions after that, especially when lying might affect another person that really wanted the job. So I like bringing out that question for feet draggers and tire kickers. Here's a little bonus I wanted to throw into this teleseminar. And I put together the top 10 ways to guarantee your best people will quit. So here are 10 things you don't want to do. So once you've located, you interview, you hire these top talent, and you have your top talented team, don't do these 10 things in your office. This will guarantee you these people will quit. Number 10, treat everyone equally. I know it sounds like a good idea to treat everyone equally, but your employees are not equal. Some are worth more because they produce more results. The key is not to treat them equally, to treat them all fair. Number 9 of the top 10 ways that your best people will quit, you tolerate mediocrity. A players don't have to or want to play with a bunch of C players. So if you have a bunch of people who aren't keeping up, aren't doing a good job, and that will affect your top A players. They're either picking up their slack, they don't think it's fair. That's a big reason why people leave. Number 8, have dumb rules. That's a guarantee why people will quit, having dumb rules. I'm not saying not to have any rules, just don't have the dumb ones. If you have a question of what that is, email me. Great employees want to have some guidelines and direction, of course, but they don't want to have rules that get in the way of doing their job or that conflict with the values of the company says are important. Number 7, don't recognize outstanding performance. If you want behavior repeated, it needs to be rewarded immediately. So one of the ways that people will quit if they're not rewarded for outstanding performance. Reward them. Tell them what a great job they're doing. That's all it takes. You don't have to give them an extra bonus in their paycheck. A card with a $10 Dunkin' Donuts gift card. You can't imagine what that does for outstanding performance. Number six, top 10 ways guarantee your best people will quit. Don't have any fun at work. Work doesn't always have to be serious. I know it's a doctor's office, but it should also be fun. They're there for 40, 50 hours a week. Find ways to make work or the work environment more relaxed and fun, and you'll have happier employees who want to come to work each day. Number five, don't keep your people informed. You've got to communicate not only the good, but also the bad and the ugly. If you don't tell them, the rumor mill will. Keep people informed. Let them know what's going on with the office. You're all on the same vision. You want everyone on the same vision, the same plan. No secrets. Micromanage, number four. Stop doing this. Tell them what you want done and how you want it done. Don't micromanage once it's being done. Of course, you can get updated and inputted. Don't start micromanaging the whole deal. Number three, don't develop an employee retention strategy. Employee retention. I like to bring my employees in to my office every so often and see how things are going. See if they're happy. Is there anything I can do differently? Don't worry, you're not opening up a can of worms. They're not going to say, oh, I want a $20 raise. But money's important. You should have an employee retention strategy that vets out if people are unhappy about salary. If you have a really good person, you don't want to lose them. Make your onboarding program an exercise in tedium. Employees are the most impressionable during the first 60 days on the job. You got to realize that. That's their training period, right? The first 60 days. Every bit of information gathered during this time will either reinforce your new hire's buying decision, that means to take the job, or lead to hire's remorse. So you got to make that 60 days impressionable. The biggest cause of hire's remorse is the dreaded employee orientation training program. Most are poorly organized, inefficient, and boring. You want to make it exciting. You want to make them part of your vision. So to reinforce their buying decision, get the key people involved on the first day and make sure your orientation delivers and reinforces these three messages repeatedly. Here are the three messages these people have to get during the first 60 days. One, they have to know they were carefully chosen and you're glad they're here. Number two, they have to know they're part of a great organization. Three, and this is probably the most important, this is why your job is so important. And go over it, whether it's the front desk, the billing, or the marketing and the PR. And those are the top 10 things to guarantee your best people will quit if you're doing them. If anyone has any questions about that, feel free to call or feel free to email me. I just want to say we've been doing this a long time. We've been placing top talent for chiropractic offices for several years. And although these aren't your highest paid employees compared to the doctors, the medical doctors, the nurses, if you hire them, but these are crucial employees. It's probably the most important consideration for your practice and who you're going to hire. You don't want to lose cannon. They can kill your whole practice. Don't make the mistake and think that it's easy. This teleseminar I wanted to do is give you a breakdown on some strategies to get you through the process. If you're new to this system and this process and you want help, don't be afraid to call me. I can help you with the process. Remember, there's no charge unless you hire a candidate from me. I'm happy to help. So my advice for anyone on this teleseminar is a free call, and I offer that to you. So if anyone has any questions, feel free to call me. I'm on East Coast time, 267-251-5275. If you don't get me, it might go to my office manager, Ann. Just tell her you're on the teleseminar on hiring top talent and you want to set up a 15-minute phone conversation with me, and she'll schedule you. and we can see what you have going on, and we can help. In closing, I just want to say I appreciate everyone's time for coming out on such a busy night, especially the people on the East Coast where it's a little later at night, and people on the West Coast who probably took some time out of their practice to come on this teleseminar. I look forward to helping all of you with your practice, and if there's anything I can do in the meantime, you have all my information. Just give me a call, 267-251-5275, or email me at Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at hcrcstaffing.com. Take care. You all been great. Bye-bye.